Hello, everybody, and welcome back to 100 Years, 100 Movies, The Revenge. Today, we're going to be continuing talking about comic book franchises that are not necessarily part of the MCU, although this may eventually get doctored in, or at least elements of it. Today, we're talking about the X-Men franchise. Now, in order to kind of set this up, I wanted to go back and talk a little comics history, talking about the early and late 90s. So in the early to mid 90s, comics were the fucking biggest thing ever. Comics sold in the millions, and people were buying them up left and right because they thought these things were going to be worth a shitload of money, and they were trying to get it on the ground floor and buying up as many comics as they could in order to turn those around and sell them for a profit much later on. Now, here's the problem with that. The reason that old comic books are so have so much value is because they're rare. Because a lot of comics were bought by kids and destroyed, because, you know, they would just pass them around to each other and read them and treat them like pieces of paper. Or they were recycled to be used for the war effort or for various other reasons. You know, they just, there's a scarcity to these old comics, and that's why they're so valuable. When you have a million copies of X-Men number one from the early 90s, it's probably worth a dollar. Maybe not even that. So we had this speculator boom, as it was called, and comics were riding high, but just like any kind of bubble, it burst. And that, in particular, really hurt Marvel Comics to the point where they were on the edge of bankruptcy in the late 90s, early aughts. And in order, or actually in the late 90s, and in order to really be able to stay afloat, they ended up selling one of the few things that still had some value, and that was their characters' movie rights. So that's why in the early 2000s, once comic book movies became a thing, we have these separate franchises specifically for Marvel. We have the Fantastic Four movies coming off doing their own thing. We have Blade doing its own thing. We have Spider-Man doing its own thing. We have the Hulk, random Hulk movie in 2003. We have the X-Men doing their own thing. And, you know, in 2008, later on, it would kind of, It put Marvel in a bind, which they were able to get out of eventually, in with Iron Man, you know. But that's the reason that we have all these separate franchises. And that's the reason that even though the MCU is the biggest Marvel property out there, running alongside of it and predating it, we have the X-Men movies. The X-Men are, growing up, were one of my favorite comic books. And I think a lot of that was down to two reasons. First of all, Jim Lee's art was fucking amazing. And secondly, we had the cartoon series that was based on Jim Lee's amazing art. And much like most kids my age, Batman the Animated Series and the X-Men Animated Series were like go-tos. And probably to a lesser degree, the Spider-Man Animated Series on Fox were go-tos for comic characters and for kind of getting this fix, you know, of in cartoon form of seeing these characters. So I remember those. I remember Pride of the X-Men, which was like a single pilot for a show that was never picked up, where we have an Australian Wolverine. But that was also the basis for the extremely popular Konami side-scroller beat-em-up X-Men game, which is fucking great, and I love that game. But that's to say, like, my knowledge of X-Men really wasn't super related to the comics. Like, since then, since I've gotten older, I've read lots of X-Men comics, and X-Men is interesting. Really, depending on who's writing it, can be phenomenal or can be the drizzling shits, more so than many other characters. And part of that is because there's so many X-Men. There's so many characters. It's like its own little universe. So in a way, it kind of makes sense that it's continued to be its own thing up to 2019, up to last year. Now, there's 12 movies in the franchise, and that includes, there's 7 X-Men movies, 3 Wolverine movies, and 2 Deadpool movies. And I'm actually going to go ahead and rank them. Now, I'm going to give this caveat. I know people love Deadpool. I am not the biggest Deadpool fan, and I mean, I would think most people would probably put it higher than I did, but that's just, I'm just putting it out there. I'm not the biggest fan of Deadpool, and yeah, it's going to reflect in my rankings. But I think the best movie out of all of them is X2, X-Men United, followed by Logan, X-Men First Class, X-Men from 2000, the first one, X-Men Days of Future Past, Deadpool, The Wolverine, Deadpool 2, X-Men The Last Stand, X-Men Apocalypse, X-Men Dark Phoenix, and X-Men Origins Wolverine. And realistically, I think those first four are phenomenal. They're great. And I will toss in there, Deadpool is a really well-done movie. Those middle ones up until about Deadpool 2, or maybe even The Last Stand for part of it, are fine. They're good. You know, they're watchable. They're pretty cool. And really, those last ones, especially Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix and X-Men Origins, are the worst. Definitely skippable. They're terrible. X-Men, I think, also because of the amount of characters and the way that these stories are set up and kind of how they relate, they decided to kind of do a soft reboot and reintroduce these characters in the past. It led to one of the Days of the Future Past basically works as a retcon itself. And for those that aren't familiar with that terminology, it's retroactive continuity, which is something that happens all the time in comic books, where you have a story from the past that then establishes something that affects the future, or it can kind of wipe things out and kind of start things over. And it's just interesting that something that is prevalent in comics and is prevalent specifically in X-Men comics actually is represented in the X-Men franchise. I think that's kind of hilarious, and I love it. But I'm going to go kind of through these movies briefly. I had talked about X-Men before just because of the impact that this movie had. And X-Men really is a movie that, along with Blade, I think Blade really started it, but X-Men was the one that cemented it. And then Spider-Man after that really cemented just the fact that comic book movies could make a lot of money. And lo and behold, there's a shit ton of comic books and there's a shit ton of comic book characters. So there's a lot of fodder for new movies. And like I said, X-Men, I think we can really go back to and say that, yes, that this is the one that was able to kind of establish that these movies can be popular. And X-Men, in retrospect, ends up being a much smaller movie. So this kind of unwieldy cast already from the get-go, which it's the X-Men, you're going to have to. And they do something interesting with this movie in that they make Wolverine kind of the main crux of these movies. And he kind of basically continues, even in the movies that he's not in. But this movie also cast Patrick Stewart as Professor Charles Xavier, which I think was at least in the 90s, was every comic book fan's dream that, you know, Patrick Stewart would play Professor Xavier. We also get Ian McKellen as Magneto. And then we end up getting this core group of X-Men that we follow through the next couple of movies, including Famke Janssen as Jean Grey, James Marsden as Cyclops, Hugh Jackman, as I mentioned, as Wolverine, Halle Berry as Storm, Anna Paquin as Rogue. And we also get some villains that we continue to see alongside Ian McKellen, specifically Rebecca Romijn as Mystique, and some other characters that are introduced throughout. This movie ends up just telling, kind of doing a good job of establishing the world of X-Men and stating that, you know, their mutants are feared by humans because they feel inferior to them and they're worried about how they could use their powers to destroy them. And it really becomes this philosophical debate between Charles Xavier, who wants to integrate with humans and wants to save everybody, and Eric Lenscher, Magneto, who wants to destroy and subjugate humans and for mutants to rise as the superior race. So some parallels, admittedly so, to the civil rights movement in this movie from the get-go. And also to, I think, and this becomes more prevalent as movies come on, for the LGBTQ community, and the harassment that people that quote unquote look like us may be different, and what they have to deal with when they are outed or when people are worried about that impact of that change. The other thing that I think that X-Men did was it really established Hugh Jackman as a superstar, and I think there's a reason that he continued to be continues to this day being the poster boy for this particular movies. I mean, to be fair, Wolverine himself since the 80s has been one of the biggest parts of the X-Men, one of the most popular ones, most popular characters, and one of the few to get his own spin-off, and one that would come out in multiple X-Men titles. Wolverine's a great character, and I always wonder what this movie would have been like had DeGray Scott not had to do reshoots on Mission Impossible 2, and had he stayed on playing Wolverine. Like, I wonder what that would have been like. But you know what? We got Hugh Jackman, and Hugh Jackman fucking kills in this movie. And out the gate, I think X-Men is able to kind of establish what these movies are going to be about. In 2003, we got X2, X-Men United, which took that central idea of the first X-Men movie and expanded it. And we're able to really get to see the X-Men use their powers. This movie also explores the origins of Wolverine, and it brings in more villains and more other characters, human characters, that are really the crux of the ones that are trying to destroy the X-Men. We have Brian Cox as William Stryker, who in the comics is a preacher, but in this movie he's a military man, and this is based on one of the most famous graphic novels, like original stories of X-Men, called God Loves, Man Kills. And this movie's great. It introduces even more great characters, like Kurt Wagner as Nightcrawler in like his only appearance as Nightcrawler, and we don't get Nightcrawler again until much later. We have Bobby Drake coming back as Iceman, who's now older. We get Kelly Hu as Lady Deathstrike. We just get a bunch of really great characters, and we get this really fun action movie, inventive action movie. And this movie's just a blast. And I think there's this one particular scene where Bobby's coming out to his parents, and it really is kind of played off in a way as if, a gay man, a transgender man, is coming out to his parents, and how they would react, and how his brother reacts. And this movie is just fascinating. It's really fun. I think it's a movie that holds up, and I think it's a movie that kind of continued to kind of helps to cement just how popular and how good these movies can be. And I mean, there are certain things which I know specifically fans of the comic were kind of upset about, starting with this particular movie, and that has to do a lot with Cyclops. Cyclops is usually the leader of the group. I know a lot of people think he's boring. He's not boring. They're just thinking about how he's portrayed in the X-Men cartoon. But he definitely is someone who's very reserved, and who, because of that, like his fear that he's going to like destroy everybody because he can't control his mutant power of concussive blast from his eyes, is reserved, you know, and it kind of makes sense. But he really gets silent in this movie. He shows up in the beginning and then doesn't really show up at all until the end of it. And then he's under the control of Stryker, and this character who's kind of a take on one of the Morlocks, but who is able to control other mutants' powers. But that continues to a much greater degree in the next movie. And in the end, though, I think this movie is a lot of fun, even if it does end up just becoming more of a Wolverine-centric story. And that's both good and bad. Bryan Singer had directed both the first two movies, and Bryan Singer is a problematic figure in Hollywood. I think he always has been. But his movies usually make a shit ton of money, so people would always kind of turn a blind eye to, you know, the fact that he would cast these random young men in his movies, and that he'd always had these hanger-ons who were usually inappropriate, once again, with younger men in the cast. And, you know, like I said, at this point, all of that was tolerated, and that really didn't change up until maybe like a few years ago. But he was the driving force behind these movies to a certain extent, even if he was notoriously difficult to work with, to the point that, if I remember correctly, Kelly Bray told him that she can kiss his black ass at one point, or kiss her black ass. But he decided to basically abandon these movies and go off and do Superman Returns, a passion project of his, in the sense that he revered the Richard Donner Superman movies, and so he kind of wanted to do his thing. So that kind of put X-Men in a tight spot, because they had already announced a third movie, And they had announced, and they had even set up, that this was going to be a take on one of the most famous X-Men stories, and that's the Dark Phoenix Saga. And the Dark Phoenix Saga, if you've ever read the comics, is a very, very strange story. And I think one that at this time, people would, had they done it as it was in the comic, which is basically a space opera with aliens and entities that are basically gods, as well as like whole battles inside people's minds, it would have fucking blown people away. And maybe not necessarily in the best way. I don't think people would have necessarily been ready for it. That's to say, though, what we got didn't really use any of that. What we ended up getting is X-Men The Last Stand, directed by Brett Ratner. And this movie is fine. It's one of the lesser movies. It's watchable, I can say that much. But there's definitely something missing with this movie. There's some weird jokes in it having to do with Jean Grey's powers. And this is a movie wherein X-Men just start getting killed off left and right. I mean, infamously, Cyclops, because at the end of X2, Jean Grey had sacrificed herself in order to save the rest of the X-Men. In the beginning of this movie, she's resurrected as Dark Phoenix, or as the Phoenix, and Cyclops meets with her, and she destroys him, like, off-screen. Ignoble off-screen death for Cyclops, the leader of the X-Men, 10 minutes into the movie. After that, you know, we end up getting, Jean, she teams up with Magneto. Running alongside this, we also have this other side story of a mutant cure, which was based on a very recent story that had just come out called Gifted, written by Joss Whedon. And so we have this, like, who wants the cure, who doesn't want the cure, and is the government going to force people to have the cure? We also had some interesting, casting choices, or at least interesting in that people kind of read too much into them, I being one of them. Bill Duke shows up in this movie as Bolivar Trask, and just because Bill Duke has a certain look to him, I, along with a lot of people, thought he was going to be Apocalypse in this movie, and he wasn't, and it was really a downer that he was just this secondary villain who, his claim to fame is that he created Sentinels, and Sentinels aren't really even in this movie on top of everything else. It was just a weird choice to have him in this movie. But in any case, you know, we get this uneven movie that is still kind of good. It's all right. It's watchable, as I said. But that ends up just leading most of the cast killed and leaving Wolverine and Storm as the people that are going to either killed or depowered. The people that are going to be running the Xavier School, because even Charles Xavier is killed in this movie. And it also kind of posits a world where Wolverine's like the strongest mutant there is, because of his mutant healing factor, he's able to withstand the Phoenix. This movie's all right. I mean, it's not one that I'd be like, yeah, I want to watch that one, but you know, it's decent. Much better than some of the later ones, that's for fucking sure. So from there, as I mentioned, X2 also kind of hinted at like the Wolverine character and his origins, and a character who, interesting enough, in the comics, hadn't ever really had a complete origin story due to Wolverine having issues with his memory, so never really being able to know his origins. And in order to kind of beat the movie to the punch, Marvel ended up releasing the comic Origins, which talks about Wolverine's origin. Now, this movie doesn't really take anything from that. This movie is basically just based on the first Wolverine miniseries, written by Chris Claremont and drawn by Frank Miller, which is about his time in Weapon X. And it shits the fucking bed. This movie is atrocious. This movie is fucking horrible. About the best thing in it is that we have Ryan Reynolds in the first 3 minutes as Wade Wilson, who he, of course, went on to redo in the Deadpool movies as a Deadpool character, you know. And then, of course, they go and reintroduce him as Deadpool, but they fucking show his mouth, they sew his mouth shut, so they took away the best thing about Deadpool, and that's the fact that he never shuts the fuck up, and that he's always commenting on what's going on. On top of that, even though this is technically the fourth X-Men movie, this has worse effects than the first one, and I mean, like, cartoonishly bad effects. this is the fourth movie that has Wolverine having claws, and the scene where he first gets his claws looks like something out of, like, shit, I don't know, something out of, like, The Scorpion King, something out of, like, The Mummy 2, which, it just looks terrible, and this movie is just a horrible, horrible movie. There's no reason to ever need to watch this movie. Yeah, it just sucks. It straight out sucks, and it actually doesn't even make any sense within what's established later on in the movies. So we end up getting, because of the failure of X-Men Origins Wolverine, and the fact that a lot of the cast wanted to move on or had moved on to other movies, we end up kind of getting like the soft reboot in 2011, where we get Matthew Vaughn's X-Men First Class. X-Men First Class is one of my favorite of the X-Men movies, and it kind of goes back to the original idea of the X-Men, which was this group of young people who are brought together by Charles Xavier in the 1960s, and this movie is a period piece. So we go back to the 60s, so we get a lot of cool stuff wherein we pick up with Magneto as a young man trying to hunting down Nazis that were responsible for putting him in a concentration camp. We also get Charles Xavier trying to infiltrate the CIA in order to be able to change policy, in order to be able to start his school and help mutants out. And we get a collection of mutants that is varied. And we also get a couple of great great recasts, because we get James McAvoy as the new Charles Xavier and Michael Fassbender as the new Magneto. We also have Kevin Bacon as Sebastian Shaw, the big bad in this movie, and Rose Byrne as Moira McTaggart, who's a lot of fun. And speaking of recasting, we also get Jennifer Lawrence as Raven, as Mystique, in a role that she is great in, but a role that Jennifer Lawrence, little by little, really started to hate to have to continue to do. This movie is a lot of fun, I think, because it kind of has this whole feel of like a James Bond 1960s spy action thriller, and that happens to have superheroes in it, but I really enjoy it, and I think it kind of was going to lead to some interesting ideas, but Matthew Vaughn ended up leaving the project because they kind of wanted to rush what he wanted to do. A few years ago, or last year, I think, Matthew Vaughn talked about how his idea of movies, he wanted to do a trilogy where in the third movie would be Days of Future Past, but there would be a middle movie where they would establish other things, and I forgot exactly what the story was going to be about. But the producers wanted to jump straight to Days of Future Past, and he balked at that. So he ended up being replaced once again by a returning Bryan Singer. But before we got to Days of Future Past, we also got The Wolverine by James Mangold. And The Wolverine is a much more successful take on the character of Wolverine. This movie is just, it's fine. It's not like great or anything. It's definitely not terrible. Nowhere near as bad as X-Men Origins Wolverine. But we get this movie that it really does ends up taking, once again, that Wolverine miniseries where he goes to Japan and kind of running with that idea. So we have Wolverine going to Japan to meet with an old friend of his, and he gets caught up with the Yakuza, and his powers start to get stolen. So we have a Wolverine that, for once, is actually able to be harmed, who can't just go into fights and expect that he'll be okay because his healing factor is going to take care of it. And this movie is, it's a lot of fun to watch. It's really well done. We also kind of continue kind of having these stakes of Logan having to deal with what he did, having to that he had to kill Jean in order to save everybody else, in order to save her, and the guilt that comes with that. But we also have just some really cool action scenes in this movie, and just some great direction from James Mangold, just being able to really nail what a Wolverine movie should, the feel of a Wolverine movie. And this, like I said, is much more successful, and it was an interesting movie to watch. As I mentioned, the next movie in the actual X-Men, that isn't a spinoff, in the actual X-Men timeline, was Days of Future Past, which brings back Bryan Singer, and which takes one of the most iconic stories, and because, once again, Logan is the biggest thing in the X-Men movies, he comes back and he ends up taking the place of Kitty Pryde. In the original comic, Kitty Pryde is sent back in time in order to warn her younger self and warn the X-Men in the past about a murder that's going to happen of a politician that's going to lead to mutant registration and that's going to lead to the destruction of mutants. So in this movie, we start off in the future with the last remnants of mutant kind trying to send Wolverine's consciousness back in time to his younger body in the 1970s in order to stop the creation of the Sentinel program. In this movie, we have, once again, James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender coming back, and Jennifer Lawrence as well. And we have this combination of cast members from the first three movies and from the X-Men First Class universe. And this movie is a lot of fun. I think it's really well done. I don't think it's as good as X-Men First Class, but it does this great thing where it's able to kind of meld these two storylines. And in the end, because of the changes in the past, it kind of sets up a thing where the two these two timelines kind of converge, and it also ends up leading to a more hopeful ending, because since Wolverine is able to go back and change things, that means that the characters that died in X-Men First Stand didn't die. So we still have Jean, and we still have Cyclops and all these other characters. And in a way, maybe this is where these movies should have ended. They didn't, unfortunately. But maybe this is a place where they should have stopped. But regardless, I mean, even being able to take on something as weird as, you know, a retcon and being able to do it successfully in a movie was great to see. And this kind of led to speculation of like, man, where can they go from here? Now, this is 2014. This is in smack dab in the middle of like Marvel's MCU really taking off and the beginnings of the DCEU. So it was kind of like everyone was like, great, things are going to go great. And at that time, there was a small teaser released on the internet of some test footage of Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool. And that test footage ended up leading to the creation of the movie Deadpool, directed by Tim Miller. Deadpool is a movie that I feel if it had come out 10 years earlier, I would have loved. If this movie came out when I was 25, I would have fucking loved this movie. Unfortunately, it came out when I was 35, and I just thought it was all right. But I can say this much about Deadpool. It totally nails the character of Deadpool. Deadpool is a sardonic, sarcastic character who breaks the fourth wall, who never shuts the fuck up, and who kills people left and right. And in this movie, we get a Deadpool that does all those things. So in that, at that level, this movie is great. But once again, you know, like, just for me, I'm at the point where this movie just didn't do it for me. The ridiculous potty humor, the tone, everything, like I said, younger me would have loved this, but at the time that it came out, it just wasn't for me. But I can definitely say that this nails what this character is. And people love it, and I get why people love it. Like, I'm not saying that it's badly done. It just isn't for me, but I understand why people like it. From there, though, we end up getting one of the biggest stumbling blocks in the X-Men movies, and that is X-Men Apocalypse, which is set in the 80s. So we have this weird thing where the X-Men movies that go back to the 60s and then jump to decades, but we still have the same actors. And I mean, this posits a world where James McAvoy basically hasn't aged in 20 years. Which, all right, that's cool, I guess. This movie is not good. It's set in the 80s, and I think like the only thing that I liked about this movie was that when they introduce Angel, he's listening to Metallica's The Four Horsemen, which is hilarious because Angel becomes Archangel, one of the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, literally because Apocalypse is the villain. But this movie is almost unwatchable. It is just long and boring, and you can just tell that basically everyone aside from like maybe Nicholas Holt, who plays Beast, was really kind of phoning it in at this point and couldn't care at all about what they're doing. This movie reintroduces as well like Jean Grey and Cyclops and Nightcrawler and Storm, And even then, like, it's just all right. It's not great. Yeah, this movie, I don't have much to say, man. It's not good. definitely worth skipping. I almost feel like outside of the spin-off movies, there really was no reason to kind of do any more X-Men movies after Days of Future Past. It really should have stopped there. But after that, we got Logan, which is the best Wolverine movie and one of the best comic book movies and one of the best X-Men movies. Logan is based on one of the fucking craziest stories in Marvel Comics called Old Man Logan, which is a future dystopian world where all superheroes have been killed and the Red Skull has taken over as the president of the United States. And Logan himself is living on a farm. Basically, it's Unforgiven. He's retired. He hasn't popped his claws in years. And he's just trying to survive on a farm with his family, his wife and his kids. And he's being he's forced into kind of one last stand in order to get money to be able to pay for his ranch. Now, that general idea of an older Logan who has done something that makes him not want to be a superhero, and that kind of shows him near his death, is really the nugget of what Logan is made from. Logan is really, in a way, almost a modern-day Western. And by modern-day, I mean this movie's kind of set a few years in the future. And we really follow Logan as an older man who's slowly being killed by the adamantium in his bones. Slow, he doesn't heal as fast or as well. And who just, he's dreaming of just trying to go to a boat and being able to die in solitude. And this movie is rough. It's bleak. It has some of the most violent action sequences of any X-Men movie, of any action movie. I mean, this is a movie where we see, like, Wolverine has claws for hands, or claws on his hands. He literally chops people to pieces in this movie. And this is a movie where we also have him face a clone of himself, which is a younger, more deadlier version of himself. This movie really only has Wolverine, who's now just called Logan, Caliban, and Professor Xavier. That's about it. And Wolverine's clone daughter, Laura, as the only mutants really left in the world. And we find out that there was a tragedy where all the X-Men are killed. In the comic book, Wolverine is tricked by Mysterio into killing all of his friends, thinking he's fighting off villains. In the movie, it's Professor Xavier who is unable to control his powers and ends up causing a disaster whereby all mutants are wiped out. This movie is bleak, but this movie is great. This movie is just, it's much more mature. It's more along the lines of The Dark Knight. And even The Dark Knight's has a lot more humor than this. And this is just kind of, I think, shows what the appeal of Logan is, of this character, of Wolverine. And, you know, it ends with him sacrificing himself in order to save some mutant children, which, yeah, Wolverine would do that. After Logan, we got Deadpool 2, which really is more of the same as Deadpool. I mean, he tries to join the X-Men in this movie, and it's almost really just an excuse for him to kind of do more of the same. We get Cable, coming back from the future. We get Domino. So we have a few more characters that are more synonymous with Deadpool. But this is really more of the same as Deadpool. A lot of the same sort of humor. If you like the first Deadpool, you're going to like this one. That's really all I can say about it. David Leitch directed this one. David Leitch, of course, who directs the John Wick movies. And, you know, Josh Brolin, once again, playing another comic book character, this time playing Cable, is in this. This is fine. You know, like I said, it's Deadpool more or less, but it's not as good. And it's definitely watchable, I can say that much. Once again, I'm not the biggest Deadpool fan, so I don't really have much to say about Deadpool. Sorry for my, I know a lot of people love Deadpool, but it's just not for me. That came out in 2018. And then last year we got X-Men Dark Phoenix, which is probably going to end up being the final X-Men movie. And X-Men Dark Phoenix is one of the worst X-Men movie. I mean, in a way, this is almost a remake of X-Men The Last Stand. And I mean, if you're going to remake any X-Men movie, like really, that's the one you're going to remake? I mean, I guess if you want to do it better. But to take that movie and then make it even worse, man, I don't know. Like, if people seem tired on an X-Men Apocalypse, they seem downright, like, upset that they're in this. I mean, to the point that they straight up spoiled one of a major character's death in the trailer just to get people interested in going to see this piece of shit. But yeah, I mean, like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, I really felt like, for me, I guess, in a way, it's, I'm like, all right, you know what? Days of Future Past, that's where the X-Men movies ended. Because, like, I mean, yes, we got Logan and we got Deadpool afterwards, but those are spinoffs. Like, we can keep the spinoffs. We didn't need Apocalypse. We didn't need Dark Phoenix. Had they been made better, we could have maybe had to use those. But in their present form, there really is no reason to watch either one of those. And of course, you know, at this point, X-Men, which is a Fox property, was bought out by Disney, meaning that now those X-Men characters are going to be gravitating back towards Marvel and the MCU. And there is, supposedly, it is supposedly has been pushed back so many times, but there apparently is the New Mutants that's going to come out at some point, which will probably be the final X-Men movie before Disney officially takes over. That was a full Fox production. But, you know, I don't know what the future holds for the X-Men. I'm assuming that they'll show up at the MCU at some point. And even though these movies were just recast, or the characters were just recast a few years ago, I'm pretty sure they're going to recast them. And to be perfectly honest with you, all they really need to retain from these movies is Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. Even if he just shows up in the first movie as Old Man Logan and, you know, basically just is there in a cameo to present, like, a new generation of X-Men, that's really all that's needed. I mean, if you can toss in Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool at first, people will love that. But really all you need is Wolverine. But yeah, I mean, that's it for the X-Men. The X-Men is just an interesting franchise because it started off independent and now has been subsumed by Big Bad Disney. And it started off at the highest of highs with those first couple of X-Men movies and stumbled pretty hard at times and was able to regain its footing and then ended like most franchises do, as utter shit, unfortunately. So that's it for today. We have one more episode, one more comic book franchise that we're going to talk about. And that is, of course, the biggest comic book hero there is, arguably, Batman. We'll see you next time.